I write this sitting in the kitchen sink. With this unforgettable opening, we're plunged into the world of 17-year-old Cassandra Mortmain, whose journal chronicles life in a crumbling Suffolk castle during the 1930s. The Mortmain family lives in genteel poverty, a romantic-sounding phrase that masks harsh reality. Cassandra's father, once a celebrated experimental novelist, hasn't written a word in 12 years. Her stepmother Topaz, a former artist's model, communes with nature, often nude, hoping to inspire her husband. Beautiful older sister Rose dreams of escaping poverty through marriage, while younger brother Thomas remains practical and sardonic. Stephen, the handsome son of their late cook, supports them all while secretly loving Cassandra. Their poverty isn't picturesque. The kitchen is the only warm room. Meals consist of bread and margarine, and clothes are patched until threadbare. Yet there's unexpected beauty in their circumstances. Cassandra writing by candlelight, climbing Belmont Tower for solitude, observing changing seasons with a poet's eye. When she describes the kitchen glowing warm from both the range and copper, we glimpse how even in deprivation, moments of beauty persist, especially when eggs appear for tea. Everything changes when Simon and Neil Cotton, wealthy American brothers, inherit neighboring Scotney Hall. Their first meeting is memorably awkward. They discover Cassandra bathing in the kitchen behind green-dyed sheets. The Cottons transform the Mortons' isolated existence. Simon, the elder brother, is the Henry James type of American who falls in love with England, bearded, courteous, and intellectual. Neil is more typically American, direct, athletic, and skeptical of English traditions. The contrast between their wealth and the Mortons' poverty is stark. Simon's self-changing gramophone amazes Cassandra, while at Scotney Hall, she's overwhelmed by its grandeur. The pool of candlelight at dinner with family portraits floating in the darkness and Mrs. Cotton's glass-walled bathroom. Yet the Cottons aren't mere stereotypes. Simon finds the English countryside touching beyond just visual appeal and shares Cassandra's enchantment with medieval atmosphere. Neil bonds with Thomas, while their mother offers the Mortons flowers and vegetables, small kindnesses bridging the economic divide. Rose Mortmain, beautiful and 21, sees marriage as her escape from poverty, declaring she could marry the devil himself if he had some money. When Simon Cotton appears, she pursues him determinedly. Her approach lacks subtlety. She dons a tea gown for the Cottons' visit, affecting manners from old books, and wears a homemade pink crinoline dress to dinner at their estate. Her motives are mixed. She likes Simon, but admits she would marry him even if she hated him, just for his beautiful bathroom. The strategy works. After Simon proposes, Rose indulges in expensive shopping, 25-pound dresses, a costly suit, and an emerald ring. She writes to Cassandra about her lavish new life, promising to help with clothes and college. Yet Rose's victory proves hollow. As the wedding approaches, she realizes she doesn't truly love Simon. Courageously, she runs away with Neil, leaving only a brief note, choosing genuine feeling over financial security and affirming that authentic emotion matters more than material comfort. Cassandra begins as an observer, capturing her family's life with precocious insight and humor. At 17, she balances childish enjoyment of rituals with perceptive understanding of complex dynamics. Her development accelerates when she falls in love with Simon, her sister's fiancé. After his Midsummer Eve kiss brings happiness like sunlight flowing through my whole body, she discovers that being in love seemed the most blissful luxury I'd ever known, while wondering if perhaps loving itself counts more than being loved in return. This complicates her relationship with Stephen, whose affection she cannot reciprocate. When he kisses her, she feels nothing compared to her feelings for Simon. Cassandra's greatest test comes when Rose runs away with Neil. When Simon turns to her for comfort and offers an almost proposal, she refuses with profound maturity, knowing their relationship would be a follow-my-leader game of second best. By the novel's end, Cassandra has transformed from a girl writing in exercise books to a young woman with deep emotional understanding. Her final entry shows both growth and hope. Simon said he would come back. James Mortmain's 12-year writer's block is both literary mystery and financial disaster for his family. After his masterpiece Jacob Wrestling and Brief Imprisonment, his creativity vanishes with devastating consequences. In their decaying castle, Mortmain retreats to eccentric routines, hours in the gatehouse with detective novels and crosswords, rigid rituals around meals. Simon suggests Mortmain's creative crisis predated his imprisonment, as evolving literary trends left him feeling outdated. Meanwhile, Topaz attempts to inspire him through moonlight meditations and dramatic poses as his self-appointed muse. Mrs. Cotton's shock tactics temporarily rouse him, but his peculiar behaviors intensify. Solitary walks with colored chalks, an old children's book, an outdated railway guide, later revealed as essential to his process. The breakthrough comes when Cassandra and Thomas imprison their father in Belmont Tower. This confinement, echoing his earlier jail time, ignites creativity. With minimal provisions, Mortmain begins writing again with consuming passion. This plotline explores how creativity relates to constraint, suggesting the paradox that imprisonment can lead to artistic freedom. The castle stands as the novel's most potent symbol, a crumbling medieval structure housing a modern family. With its moat and ruined towers, it represents both decay and romantic possibility, history's weight and renewal's potential. Initially appearing magical with gray stone walls and towers against yellow sky, the interior reveals horrible Victorian alterations that mirror the family situation, outwardly living a storybook existence while privately struggling with poverty. Different spaces serve distinct narrative functions. The kitchen as family life's heart, the gatehouse as creative isolation, and Belmont Tower as a transformation place where Cassandra writes and later imprisons her father. Weather dramatically interacts with the setting. March rain drives against windows while the countryside remains half-drowned. By Midsummer Eve, mist rises from the moat as Cassandra and Simon walk through it, like being drowned in the ghost of water. The castle's isolation shapes the family's eccentric worldview while connecting them to history, nature, and rural rhythms. The novel's title references art as a means of capturing and understanding life. Various forms, journals, novels, photography, serve as ways characters attempt to preserve moments and make sense of experience. Cassandra's journal writing structures the novel, beginning with her determination to capture details of their eccentric household. Her three journals of increasing value mark her development as both writer and person. By the end, she has outgrown self-documentation. "I don't intend to continue this journal. There are thousands of people to write about besides myself." Father's writer's block and eventual return explore creativity's mysteries. His breakthrough in Belmont Tower suggests creativity sometimes requires extreme circumstances. The novel suggests that capturing life through art isn't about possession, but about attention and understanding, seeing clearly, feeling deeply, and expressing honestly the fleeting moments of our existence. Art preserves what would otherwise be lost.